The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Just for the day that's in it, the papers from Northern Ireland, the Belfast Telegraph, is Coveney, quoting Simon Coveney at that event he was at yesterday, "We're as far apart as I can remember," and he's talking about relations between Ireland and the UK. The Newsletter is saying Higgins faces more heat over NI boycott, and the Irish News, invitation to Higgins was clear, no celebration. So, Father Brian D'Arcy, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Father Brian, you've been around a long time, if you don't mind me saying, and you've been around these kind of matters a long time. You understand the nuances. You understand the nuances of church, of politics, of people's feelings on both sides of things in Northern Ireland, and you understand down here as well. What is your view on this whole row over the president attending this event?
Well, I'd have to say, first of all, Brendan, that I'm immensely sad that the row has happened. You know, I don't think anybody started out it with an intention to have a row. I think everybody seems to have started out with good intentions to do it. And probably the difficulty is exactly that. How did people start it out? What was the purpose of the four churches coming together? Was it a celebration? Was it a commemoration? Was it a religious service? You know, all of those things probably are clear in their minds. But then why invite the president and why invite the queen? What was the need for that? You know, why was a specific reason that they did invite those two? And I haven't got answers to either of those two yet. So it's very difficult to come to a conclusion about it until you know more details about it. And what I'm really saying is that I can't give a definitive answer because I think all the facts are not known to as yet.
Okay.
What is known is that it looks bad that this row has taken place over a religious event. And it has been portrayed very badly up here anyway that the president hasn't come to it.
Are people disappointed? We know that people, elements of unionism are disappointed. Do you think people on the nationalist side are maybe disappointed that the president is not coming?
They're disappointed that there's a row about it, very definitely disappointed that there's a row about it. Now, there's nobody in the nationalist side jumping up and down to commemorate 1921 because of the hurt that has been the result of it ever since. But nevertheless, you know, I think people need to be able to recognise that it's 100 years. And I think we in Ireland, particularly in Northern Ireland, have got to get used to the idea of not pushing difficult things under a carpet and covering it over and pretending that all is well. I think this is part of the road to reconciliation by talking about that. What does it mean? And a religious event especially, it shouldn't cause the divergence and difference that it has. Surely the point of the religious service must have been to bring people together.
Yeah.
And look,
just to interrupt you, Brian, just so that we're clear on it all, it was a service of reflection and hope to mark the centenary of the partition of Ireland and the formation of Northern Ireland. And I read somewhere today, now I can't remember exactly where, that partition was put in there, that word was put in there to reflect the hurt and the problems on the nationalist side. So we put in there specifically to reflect that so that it would not be seen as just marking partition or marking the centenary of the formation of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, the formation of Northern Ireland. Yeah, and I think that has been... I wish that...
Do you think the president should have gone?
Now I do. Yes, I do think he should have gone now. When the invitation was issued, I think, in fact, the mistake was made before the invitation was issued. I mean, if the I've been involved in such things myself and inviting people to various things, and I've always gone to them and said, if you were asked to come and to do this, do you think it would cause too much trouble in your own congregation or your own thing doing it? And when they had cleared it with their own people that it would be safe to do it, then the invitation was asked. Yeah. Because I never wanted a religious thing to be somebody having to refuse an invitation to pray with other people. I think that's just a difficult thing to do.
So never ask a question you don't know the answer to already.
Exactly.
You see, I wonder myself... Did the president feel that the nature of it had changed? Because there seemed to be a suggestion that initially it was an invite to a church event, and then that he felt the wording of it politicised it.
That is true. But I wonder did the president's office, I'm sure not the president, but did the president's office give the impression that he could go to it or that he would go to it?
Yeah. Well, look, we don't know that, so we won't speculate.
But do you think
he should have gone?
I have a principle in life, and it's this, and I have great respect for the president, and he knows more than I do about the circumstances involved here, and he's quite right in that.
So, and he thought deeply and long on it.
About the president. Yeah. My own feeling is that it's always better to go the extra mile. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. I've always believed that, particularly if it's a religious service, it should begin with asking forgiveness for the wrongs that we've done over the years and asking blessings on some sort of life together. And I think anyone could go and pray that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do believe that if it had been a political service or something like that, then I can understand his position. But a religious service is a reflective period, and asking, I'm sure, if it's anything, it's asking the blessing for people that have suffered so much and forgiveness for that, and with an air of hope in it that something better can come, so that we can create something better from where we are, because we definitely need that. And I think as part of the journey to reconciliation is a long, long journey, and you can't. There'll be difficulties and hurts in it, and not every side will ever be right. Because if every side was right, there'd be no need for reconciliation. And justice is always part of Pope Francis recently said, forgiveness, dialogue, and reconciliation. These are the words and the actions of peace. And I think that's exactly it. We find that as we go through to work on peace, there are always people working against that, and so you have to take a stand on it and work for it and live with the hurts that it takes, live with the sacrifices that you have to make.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that is the only thing that will bring us closer together and bring us closer to a realization that we have got to live in the future rather than haunting back to the past all the time.
Do you think the president might change his mind at this point, or do you think maybe he should consider that?
No, I think no.
Done.
I think the president has done what he has to do, and I think it's a religious service. Let's get on with it. I mean, God can listen to people whether there's a queen or a president there or not. It's the sincerity of the hearts of the people taking into it, taking part in it.
Okay.
That's the sincerity of a religious service that counts. And we do need guidance, and we do need forgiveness. We certainly need forgiveness, all of us. For the attitudes we have and for the attitudes we maintain, but all of us must work very hard to understand the other. See, respect is the biggest word in human relationships. I've got to have respect for my own view, and I've got to seek respect for my own view, which, by of its very nature, entails that I have to have respect for difference. Nobody.
Okay.
Can live and hope for everybody to be the same. There is difference. Difference is a gift, not a problem.
Okay. Father Brian D'Arcy, thank you very much. Let's take a clip from that press conference, that the mini press conference that the president gave yesterday in Rome.
I understand many people think that an initiative is a good initiative, but when you are president and you are responsible for the long vision, you have to take all of the consequences into account and all of the interpretations into account. And I did that. the strident addressing to me about telling me what I have to do. I have to say, we had an election in this country for the presidency, and I was elected. And it's still my belief that the people have some confidence in my ability to arrive at an informed decision, and one that will be delivered courteously.
Okay. Gabia Gatavex-Katia, political reporter with the Irish Independent, is on the line now. And Gabia, you were in Rome. One of the few journalists was in Rome yesterday for that. Was it a press conference? Was it prearranged? How did it happen?
That was arranged. It was the last day of the president's visit in Rome. Now, last week, I was under the impression that there would be a press conference on the Thursday and on the Friday, but as the days wore on, it was just the one press conference on the Friday evening yesterday.
Okay. So when you say you were under the impression, was there supposed to be a press conference on Thursday and there wasn't?
Well, there certainly was rumblings of one, and then we were told that it was not confirmed. And we were just told he's going to, you know, once all the events finish up on the Friday evening, before he heads back and the whole delegation heads back off to Ireland, that's when the press conference will take place about the entire visit.
And were there other matters discussed before this matter was brought up?
Yeah, we talked about, of course, the Vatican visit and meeting the Pope for the fourth time, which is why the president is in, while he was in Rome, but the whole purpose of the visit. He did have other, you know, he met, for example, the Director General of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization on the Thursday. He had the big Ariolos meeting with non-executive presidents. So he was, he had a very busy couple of days in Rome, and that last day was the most important day when he met the Pope Francis for the fourth time, and that's what the press conference began talking about. And then, of course, very quickly, it turned to the story that was dominating all of the airwaves and print media at home, which was, of course, his decision to refuse attending this event in Armagh.
And listen, do you feel, Gabby, was there a consciousness out there that this was all dominating everything at home in the last few days? Was it overshadowing the mood out there in any way?
Oh, I think without a doubt, certainly my impression, I would say, is that this, you know, story has eclipsed the Pope visit. Now, yes, you are right in saying that, you know, we do have photographs of Pope Francis meeting Mr. Higgins and several of the newspapers, but this is the story, really, isn't it? You know, during the trip, like, the president was kept very busy, but the news agenda was dominated by his refusal to attend this commemoration. And we could see a little bit of that in the president. So even, for example, when he met Pope Francis yesterday morning, in the video that came out, was published afterwards, we saw that his wife, Sabina, was very emotional. And as she was walking up to shake the Pope's hand, Mr. Higgins said that she turned 80 the previous day, which was on Thursday. But actually, her birthday was on the Wednesday. Now, according to a spokesperson, it was just a slip of the tongue. But, you know, my impression is that maybe he sort of, his mind was maybe elsewhere with some of the news agenda dominating the airwaves back home. And even yesterday in the press conference, he was very happy to talk about his work here and the meetings that he had and meeting the very positive meeting that he had with Pope Francis. The Pope called him a wise man, you know, that's the ultimate compliment, really. But when reporters brought up this story that he's refusing to attend the commemoration, he sort of inhaled and exhaled, and he said, look, I am very happy to clarify and talk matters through further.
He was quite firm, wasn't he?
He was firm. I think Mr. Higgins certainly my impression was that he probably felt he had to defend himself a little bit. You know, he had made it very clear, he was speaking to media the day before, and he said that, look, I did not snub anyone. I had a decision to make. I decided that it would have been inappropriate for me to attend. Of course, that, you know, his remarks, that he was very clear that he had been following the media back home because he knew the remarks that the former Taoiseach John Bruton had made. And he sort of said, look, maybe he wants to reconsider them and maybe he would want to retract them. Certainly, he felt very strongly that he did not, I suppose, misunderstand the Constitution in the way that Mr. Bruton was saying. He said, look, I'm a political scientist of many years, and I definitely understand the Constitution. So my impression was that Mr. Higgins certainly felt like he had to defend himself a little bit and stand his ground.
Yeah. Listen, Gabby, there's the opening line of Pat Leahy's piece in the Irish Times today. There's a golden rule in dealing with President Michael D. Higgins in government. Never take him on because he's more popular than you are. I think we possibly saw that play out over the last few days. Gabby Gadavex-Katia from Political Report with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much. And let's take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.